Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
The blessing of God this morning upon us. There go the lights. And I keep finding the same scripture. That's not it, that's the one. Balak was sent to curse Israel, and he was paid money to do it, and every time he went to curse them, he blessed them. And I sort of sensed that. I sensed that, you know, the enemy's been trying to curse the church, and not just us, but the church. And every time he tries to throw a curse at us, God blesses us. God pours out his blessing upon us. And this scripture jumped out at me this week as I was just praying. And it says here in... Here we go. In Numbers 22, verses 19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. My journaling this week, God gave me that verse and he said, I've blessed you and I will not reverse it. And I thought, I'll go and look up that scripture. And that's where that scripture came from. I went to look up where he was saying that. And I found that whenever the enemy comes to bring a curse, God brings a blessing. And it may not look like that. We go through our trials. We go through our tribulations. We go through difficulties. We go through situations in our life where we think, how? How will we survive? How will we make ends meet? How will we get this? Or how will we do that? How will we do anything, Lord? And then we go back to his word. Always go back to his word. Because it's his word that will give you your strength. It's his word that will give you your stability in him. You know, most of us are like the rest of us. We all have dreams and plans and hopes and aspirations. And we believe in God for great things in our life. We believe in God for miracles, signs and wonders. We believe in God to do the impossible. And we go, God, how can you do that? And then he'll bring a word like this to us. And then if we're really lucky, he'll bring a prophetic word from somebody else unrelated to say the same thing again. And you'll go, I think God's saying something. It's funny how God works. This week, Di and I had our wedding anniversary last weekend, and we were down in the Blue Mountains, and it was fantastic. But I was uneasy the whole weekend, just uneasy, just... I was enjoying myself. It was great. We were having fun. I just felt this little uneasiness in me. And then I woke up on the Sunday morning and God says to me, have you looked at your credentials? And I went, oh, no, don't tell me I've forgotten to put them in. Then 2 seconds later, Diane says to me, didn't hear me. I was only in my head. She didn't hear. She says, have you been looking at your credentials? I'm thinking, okay. what's going on? And then God says, I'm credentialed through Full Gospels of Australia. And he says, oh, Full Gospels is calling. Full Gospels is calling. What? I picked up my phone and there was 2 missed calls. That's weird. I didn't know the number. I rang it. I thought it was a work call. Got on the other end of the phone and the guy says, oh, hello, it's Ron here from Full Gospel. Okay. When you're listening to his spirit, you get in touch with what he needs, what he wants. And there was a real need there. There was a real need there for that couple. And Diane and I went to Brisbane this week. We went to Brisbane and met with them. And we really want to encourage them. You know, if you're watching this, Ron, we love you. And Justine, bless you. We're going to believe for provision for you. Sometimes God will put people or things on your heart that you don't understand, you don't grasp. You're going, why am I thinking that? Why? Why? I travel 600 kilometres to go and meet these people. We spent 4 hours with them. And I realised that, you know, as leaders in a church, and I consider all you leaders, by the way, that you're going to go through some stuff. It's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to go your way. And sometimes you're going to just be, you have no one else to hang on to but God. You know, and you're going to say, God, help us. You know, help us. And you've got no other option. So you go back to his word. What does his word say? What has he been saying to us? What is he saying to me in my private time with him? I really encourage everybody to journal. I really do. Because God will meet with you there. And you'll slow down your thinking enough for him to get a word in edgewise. Just write it down. It just slows your thinking down just a little bit. Really encourage you to do that because he speaks in it. Not everything will be him. Some of it will be you. But that's all right. God likes you. You know, but we've got to get the voice of God. We've got to be listening to what he is saying now. Not what he said 10 years ago or 20 years ago. Those things are important, but they're not critical. But it's what he's saying now. What does he say in this moment to you? What has he been speaking to you? And he will speak. It sort of annoys me when I hear people say, oh, God doesn't speak anymore. Well, if God spoke to Moses, Aaron, you know, Joshua, and on and on and on and on and on and on, the list goes. And then into the New Testament, he spoke to Paul, Peter, John, James. He appeared to some of them in a locked room. I mean, come on. Is God different today than he was then? No. He's the same today as he was yesterday, as he will be forever. He wants to get personal, is what God wants. Brett said that this morning in the prayer room out of the Song of Solomon. God wants to get intimate with us. He wants to love us. That's how close he wants to be with us. And we're so busy. We're so busy in life. We're so busy in our day to day that we're not spending time just getting his voice. What do you want, Lord? What do you want? He gave me another scripture for this morning, and it was out of Second Kings. And this would be my prayer for everybody. I'll start in chapter 6 and verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? We've all been there. What shall we do? It's a mess. Things aren't going to plan. What shall we do? So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." This would be my prayer for everybody. And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open their eyes that they may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. You've got to understand, church, that there are more with us than against us. That the very hosts of the angel armies stand poised to work on our behalf for our good. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door might be opened. Will be open. Will be open. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. You know, we've got to understand what God's saying out of his word. And then we go, well, you know, it didn't happen for me. And James says, you know, where's all this stuff coming out of? You don't have because you don't ask. And then when you do ask, you ask out of your own selfish desire. So we've got to get ourselves in alignment with God's will. Lord, what do you want? God's got no problem at all with blessing you. No problem at all. He's got no problem with blessing your bank account. He's got no problem with blessing your work situation. He's got no problem with blessing your family. We've got to get ourselves right with him. Amen? We've just got to get ourselves in the right place so that he can work on our behalf. Because that's what he wants to do. How many times do we see in the Old Testament where God would say to the army of Israel, just stand still. Or he'd say, go out to the battle, but do nothing. Or he'd say, go out to the battle and send the singers out. That's what we did this morning. We sent the singers out into battle first. Cleans the atmosphere. It changes things. I tell you what, when you're in your hardest place, you start worshipping God and the atmosphere changes. You start bringing praise in the midst of your turmoil or your problem, and God will come. God wants to bless. God wants to bless more than we want to be blessed. But we've got this idea in our head that oh, you know, God doesn't really want to bless me, you know. It's a lie. It's a lie from the enemy. Kick it out. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless me. He wants to bless this church. He wants to bless every church on the Central Coast. He wants to bless every church on the planet. That's following after his voice. Listening for him. Serving him. That means that we might need to get rid of some stuff out of our lives that aren't helpful, that aren't working for us, that are putting a barrier between us and God. It's not him. He hasn't barrier. There's no barrier between going from him to us. The barrier is the other way. It's always the case. And you might say, well, I don't have any barriers. I thought God would get to my message eventually. I tell you, God is good. 1 John 1:8-10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Friends, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. It's the way it works. It's just how we're human. We aren't God. We're not God. You know, that's the plan. The plan is to make us more like him from glory to glory. That's the plan. But most of us are far away from it. But God showed us and demonstrated his greatest love towards us, and that he forgave us. He forgave us when we didn't deserve it. He forgave us when we weren't looking for it. He forgave us when we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. I don't have time to go into my full testimony, but suffice it to say that if I didn't have God looking after me, I would have been in big trouble. Big trouble. But fortunately, God covered my ignorance and protected me, which was awesome. And God will do that. But once we come under the knowledge of God, in his, we know him, we've got his word, we've become Christian, we're born again. Those things have to go. All that stuff's got to go. You can't continue to walk in sin and go, well, God will just forgive me. That's just crucifying Christ again, sticking him on the cross again. That's not right. We need to get rid of our sins. We need to deal with our stuff, whatever that may be. I've said it before. If you can't go into your computer and not look at porn, take your computer and throw it out the nearest window. It's not good for you. Whatever it may be that is hindering you or stopping you from fully getting into God, doesn't matter what it may be, get rid of it. Ask God, Lord, what do I need to get rid of out of my life that I might be closer to you? Not everyone will like that. Some people will say, oh, you're taking this religion a bit too far. I think you're getting a bit too, you know, into God. Good. That's a good thing. If they persecuted the church, do you think they'll not persecute you? Of course they will. It's just the way it is. We've got to get rid of our stuff. We've got to get rid of those things that are hindering us in our life. And one of the main things that does hinder us, that we don't even think about, is our own unforgiveness. The people in our lives, the people in our past, friends, family, it can be anybody, even ourselves, that we just can't, won't, or unable to forgive. And it's critically important that we forgive. See, it's not just a nice thought to forgive. It's not just a, well, you know, if you feel like it, you should forgive all your enemies. No, it's a command. He commands us to love our enemies. He commands us to forgive. This week I had somebody send me a video, which I wasn't overly keen on, but they sent me this video, and it's this guy who went to hell. And he went to hell and he was talking about what he saw in hell and all this sort of stuff. And for the sake of this person, who's not in our church, but for the sake of the person, I watched the video and most of it I thought, yeah, okay, it's a bit out there. But some of what he said struck a bell. One of the things he said was that he saw Christians in hell. And that picked up my ears, of course. I thought, oh, okay, here we are, this will be good. And he said the reason that they were there is that they wouldn't forgive. They refused to forgive. And I thought, is that biblical? Let me go and do a bit of a research on that. So I did. I went back to the scriptures, of course, as you do, to find out what God had to say about it. And if you go to Matthew 6, 9 to 15, we're going to do the Lord's Prayer. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, verse 14 says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15, highlight this in your Bible. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not, underline that, will not forgive your sins. And so we unfortunately have this dogma, doctrine going around in the modern church, which is once saved, always saved. You can do as you please almost. It's not true. You're only righteous while you're acting righteous. If you act unrighteous, you're unrighteous. And we all know that there's one thing we cannot get into heaven with, and that's carrying our sin with us. So a line like that that Jesus speaks is very, very, very important to us. We cannot get into the kingdom of heaven if we have unforgiveness. Boom, boom. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they did to my children. You don't know what that person did. It was this, that, the next thing. Yeah, look, there's horrific things being done. Horrific things. And I'm not saying that it's easy to forgive. It's not. If you've been real, you can say you can forgive. You can give it lip service. But that's not where it is it? It's here. It's here. Have you yet forgiven them in your heart? Have you released them from your unforgiveness in your heart? It's a tough one. It's a tough one. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And you've got to understand, that hinders us between us and God. You know, I was sitting today, last week, thinking about, I was just off with the fairies, and two people popped into my mind that had done me, Diane and I, great harm in the ministry, pretty much destroyed the church that we were in, terrible, terrible destruction. Their actions caused two great leaders to end up in divorces because of these actions that these people took. And God reminded me of all of that. And I went, oh, it's just terrible, you know. They didn't even see the destruction. And wouldn't it, if you'd spoken today, they still wouldn't see it. They would not even grasp the magnitude of the destruction that was generated by something that looked to them to make sense. But it wasn't God. And they went off in their own strength and did something that destroyed a church, destroyed the marriages of the leaders in the church. It did destruction. So you can imagine, when I thought that, something rose up in me that went, "Arr!" Give them an uppercut to the epiglottis, you know. But the fivefold ministry, yeah, that's right. And, you know, God just spoke to me out of that and just said, you know, that's a really long time ago. And I had to stop and think. I've been carrying all of that for 20 years. I need to release that. It needs to be gone. And I just wrote down in my journal, Lord, forgive them. for they didn't know what they were doing. And it's often the case. I don't need to go to them and say to them, do you know what you did? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So that they will repent. No. No point. I need to release them. I need to release them. So I've done that. I have sought God and said, Lord, give me the power to forgive. And you might need to do that too. There might be people in your life who have done terrible things to you, to your family, robbed you, all sorts of things, in all sorts of ways. But we must forgive. And the biggest thing that hinders us, between it gives the enemy a stronghold in our life, is unforgiveness. Because it's about the only thing that Jesus specifically said, yeah, if you don't do this, you're not going to get forgiven. Love your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Yep. Yeah. So this morning, I want to bless you. I want to encourage you. I want to strengthen you. But I want to ask you to forgive. Last time I did this message was probably, or a message similar was probably 15 years ago, 10 years ago maybe. And I was up the front. We had a church down on Tugra Strait many years ago. And this guy who I'd known him for years, came up to me and he says, oh, g'day, Keith. He said, I thought I should come up and pray. He said, because I really hated you. Really hated your guts, he said. And he said, I really want to forgive you and I really want to release that. Look, it might sound like a good idea. I don't suggest it. It's not overly helpful. If you're looking for a reconciliation and hoping that's the way to do it, please don't. Like, I had just preached on forgiveness, so I was sort of going, okay, God, thank you. I could have taken an offense on the spot. I went, how dare you? And it was over a dress, believe it or not. Yeah, I won't go there. You remember. But I hated you, he said, but you know, that message spoke to me and I just felt I should come and forgive and just release. And so he did. I never saw him again after that either, by the way. But, you know, I released him. I didn't feel anything. It wasn't like, you know, I'm not concerned. And so, forgive. I would ask you all to forgive, whatever it may be. And you might think, oh, no way, I'm not forgiven. No way. Well, you know, it goes with you. Goes with you. Release and forgive. Give it all to Jesus because he loves you. And while we were yet sinners, for when we were still without strength and in due time Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely will a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What a beautiful piece of scripture. We need to die to us, so that we can live to Christ and forgive. Now, just everyone bow their head and we'll just pray. And if you've got unforgiveness towards somebody and you need help, or you just want to release that to God, I'm going to have my eyes closed too because I don't really want to see. Just put your hand up to God and just say, Lord, help me to forgive. Let's just pray. Father God, I pray that you would just give us strength in our hearts and the grace of your Spirit to forgive anybody for any part of our life, now and the future, who may do us harm, may wrong us, might offend us, might upset us, may say the wrong thing to us, might even hate us. Father, we seek your love. We want your love to come out through us, through your forgiveness that you've given us. We ask that you would forgive everybody who has sinned against us. And we make that declaration now, Lord, forgive them. Forgive them. Whether that was a known thing they knew that they were doing or they didn't know what they were doing, Lord, forgive them. Forgive all our debtors. Forgive everybody who's sinned against us. Forgive everybody who has done us harm. Release them from our judgment, Lord. Release them. And I pray blessing over all of them. And I pray blessing even over my enemies. You'd bless them. You'd lead them. You'd guide them. They might come to know you as their Lord and Saviour. And those that do know you would get to know you better. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.